The scripture says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. I will close up the breaches, therefore. I will raise up his ruin, and I will build it as in the days of old. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. And so, I urge you, saints, if you're looking for power, if you're looking for deliverance, whatever you're looking for, the answer is in the sanctuary. All right, so this morning topic is bare feet. Bare feet. This was quite challenging, but I thank God for the Spirit of God. So we're going to see why I am saying that, because I heard the scripture just read, so we're not going to read it over. Usually we would say, and it's a principle, usually we would say that when you take off your sandals and before Christ, it is for reverence and humility. But we recite it, right? But God is saying we recite that. So we're going to get into the scripture to see the pattern to implement that so we can experience what it entails for reverence and humility. Right? It's one thing to recite the scripture. When we study it and we implement, then we begin to understand that which the Spirit of God. Remember the law? Keep that in your mind. The letter of the law brings forth the Spirit of the law, brings forth the law of the law in service, brings forth the character of Christ. All right? Or the reasoning implemented, retained in the heart, makes us intelligent, helps us with better judgment as the will of God is being fulfilled. All right? So either side, God is recreating his image within man. Now, I'm going to ask someone to read, not many scriptures today, just like two or three. Let's read Leviticus chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Leviticus chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, if someone can kindly read. Pause at every comma, stop at every full stop. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in the way we think. And it makes a difference to see how the Spirit of God is also working on the different principles of the Word of God in our life. Leviticus chapter 4, verses 6 and 7.
And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Amen. So you notice here the priest has dipped his finger in the blood, right? This is a sin offering. He went in with a sin offering. Now let's turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. So if we condense all of that we read there in one talk, we're looking at the sin offering. We're looking at bare feet. What does it mean for me to be bare feet in the presence of a holy God?
But when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father shall see it in secret, shall reward thee openly.
All right. Thank you. Now, one of the similarities between the two scriptures, can anyone see anything in connection with Leviticus 6, verse 6 and 7, and Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6? Anyone? If you can't, you can say you can't neither. I just need some feedback. As God continues to open up our understanding. Can anyone see any similarities between the two? The dipping of the finger in blood Remember the blood, a principle of the blood is a symbol of prayer too. Right? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Man, life in the blood. But we're not looking at that. I thought you were saying that. Anyone? Any other similarities there? All right. Now you notice here specifically the priest had to dip his finger in the blood and then sprinkle it seven times. We're looking at that principle, seven times. Seven meaning completion, right? Meaning completion. And you notice that's the way how God speaks all the time. Remember in Genesis 41 when Pharaoh had the dream with the lean and the fat cow? And then he asked Joseph what it means. And then Joseph says to him, this thing is established. You notice God has a way when he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. He's saying to me, he's saying to you, this thing is established. Now in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, we begin to see what it means to be bare feet. Right? If you read it over again for us and read it slowly this time, read it slowly so you can see what God is saying to you and Mark. The beginning of being bare feet in the presence of God.
And thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
All right. If you notice the word thou and thy, it's about seven times there in the scripture. Right? Thou and thine is about seven times in the scripture. Jesus had the way in Genesis, I told you in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, you would see 10 times Christ talking about the creative power of the Word of God. That's how we know it's Jesus who is speaking, because the pattern of the language continues from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. We ought to identify it. Right? So you notice that seven times, mark that in your Bible. But you notice we're gonna put the two compartments and then we will begin to expound a little. In that same chapter, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, you notice that's when the model of the Our Father was given. Same chapter. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, he said, get ye into your closet. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 to 30, he said, give the model with Our Father. Thy and thou, our. Right? If you are thy and thou with Jesus, you will be our. You're going to be focused on the family of God. Your personal family, your biological family, the family of God. You notice there's two compartments always of God, the holy and the most holy place. You begin to see this rhythm with Jesus at all the time. When I, on the 18th of November, God's willing, God has given great insight, and not insight to knowledge, but great experience that has caused me, he has caused me to have a Bible study, and it's intriguing. So on the 18th, I'm going to do that on the prayer meeting that takes place once a month. Now, once we have the two compartments in the book of Matthew, bare feet, the scripture tells us in Isaiah, you know, Isaiah 52 and verse 7 says, and shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Now, in Matthew chapter 6 here, you begin to see something here with Christ. In other words, for me to reverence God and to shred my feet with God, I must have an experience with God himself. Right? I must have an experience. Usually we pray and we go forth without taking note of our prayer. That's why we become confused, because we forget and we're not meditating on that which the Spirit of God has placed in our mind. If we are not meditating and contemplating upon the word that he has placed in the mind, appreciating that which he is doing, then the heart cannot become moist and pliable for the writing of the law upon it. And if it's not, if he's not writing on the law, then he cannot mingle in my words righteousness. But he accompanies them. He's giving us opportunities. He's giving us time to seek him with our mind, our heart, and our soul. It's not so much in preaching the gospel. It's preaching the gospel with the very truth that you have been living. Can I pause here to have a prayer or two that we will seek the experience, so when we minister in prayer and words and song and hug and gifts, whatever, the mingling of righteousness will be in our action.
Not that.
Prayers then. Couple of prayers here.
Father in heaven, this morning we want to thank you for prayers, because prayers is a raising up of the heart and mind to God. So when we come to you in prayer, let it be truthful, let it be from our heart, let it be from the love of you, so that when we pray, you will hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I heard that Sister Amanda is supposed to come back this evening.
Can someone else pray? Yes, I'll be back this evening. Yes. But let's spend some time in prayer. Anyone else?
Father in heaven, we come before you now to ask that in Jesus' holy name, the great I am that I am, that you bless us with your imputed, imparted, and planted righteousness, so that our living, singing, praying, worship would never be in vain. Thou will be within us 24/7, 7/24, 365. Thank you for hearing us, prayer, and thank you for just giving each of us a listening ear. I ask all these blessings and beg these mercies, not according to our will, but thou will be done. For Christ's sake, in Jesus, how holy and sacred I am that I am. Thank you, Jehovah. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you first of all for waking us this morning, and all the people that's on this prayer line, Lord, and all around this world. Keep us and guide us throughout this day, that we'll be done with all the things we need to do before the Sabbath come in. And Lord, pray and help us with everything that we need today, and all our families, and all the leaders of the prayer lines, and the leaders of the churches. Keep our children safe, Lord, and keep us under your blood, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Oh, okay. All right. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, we see thou and thine seven times. In other words, that's for God to bring about completeness within you. So now when you are in the presence, remember the high priest went in with blood, went in with the censer in the holier, the most holy. You know? So if you have Christians that don't want to pray, or Christians that tell you that, I'm not praying and I'm listening, something is wrong with your heart. You're probably going to get a heart attack. Yeah. You can't be a Christian and don't pray. It's impossible. According to the word of God and the spirit of the Lord that enlightens the word within the mind and the heart. So prayer is a necessity. Prayer is a privilege. And it's beyond all of our minds put together. When Jesus said, you know, he said, when I saw them without an intercessor, he came upon the earth. Can you imagine? Have you ever stopped to meditate upon this? Then the scripture. Hello?
Oh. Okay, this is so fast. Yeah.
All right. Someone, I don't know if you're talking to me or talking to someone else. Yeah, thank you. Sorry about the interruption. Okay. In other words, when the high priest entered in, he had the censer with him. In other words, prayer, the importance. God is making each and every one a prayer of breath. So when he sent, you get it? So when you go out, when you're a mission in your home and you're a mission in the church, and you go out with God on your mission, he's breathing through you that which will awaken mind to look to him so he can heal, he can deliver, he can encourage, he can love, he can do that which will glorify his name. Now, here it is. It tells us that when you enter in, of course, you come in. What the Shekinah glory does, or the light, or the grace, or the glory of God. The glory of God exposes us to our motives and our way of thinking. You know, when people say, don't judge me, I say constantly, go back and meditate and study that. You know, that reproof must be seen as a gift from Jesus. You and I have to come to the place where reproof is accepted as a gift from Christ. Because the scripture says, and when he come, which is the comforter, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove you of sin, tell of the righteousness and the judgment of God. We recite those things, but we need to experience those things. And if we are experiencing the principle of reproof, righteousness, and judgment, we are appreciating the blessings of God through individuals. Because God is not appearing before you. God is manifesting himself for those who are washing their robe in the blood of the Lamb. And so reproof is not a bad thing. The Laodicean church, if you go back and you study that, you would see how God needs to. So when you kneel and you bow, he exposes all your secrets there. That's where true confession seems to be made. Right? When we bow down and we cry out before God and we see our nothingness, it doesn't end there. It does not end there. Now, when he goes forth now, he grants the experience now to take it from the mind to write it upon the heart. That's why when circumstances and challenges come up in the Christian life, we do not blame the devil. For the scripture tells us, the word of God tried me. And then we look at Jesus. When he was baptized, the scripture says he was led by the Spirit of God. So if I am spending time in the holy and the most holy, in the presence of an holy God, through the righteousness of Christ, on the authority of the Word of God, when I leave my closet, I am led by the Spirit of God, for the word of God to try me. Then, the law that's in the mind will come to be written upon the heart. Reverence, bare feet before God. Then when I have that experience, what happens next? When I speak, I will speak not of myself, but I will speak that which was being imprinted upon the heart, fulfilling Isaiah 8 and verse 20. If they speak according to the law of God. What's coming out? The law of God. Why? What happens in our testimony, usually we speak on the event. Right? We speak on the events. But as the intimacy with God begins to close in, we will begin to speak much more about the Word of God and the power through the Word that brought on the event. We will be looking, meditating, contemplating, and seeing how the Spirit of God, as the hammer, as the chisel, as the water, as the rain, as the dew, is working within us. When I leave now, I was bare feet before God, so when I go forth, I am treading with that which, in other words, the righteousness of Christ is before me, and the righteousness of Christ is with me. It's not magical. There is a law in every aspect of our life, in our being. All right. Now, if you notice, a lot of times when we read the scriptures, we say, we would recite the scripture and pray the scripture, and we forget the middleman. We always forget the middleman. We want to study the word and preach the word, but we forget prayer. You know how many ministers stand with their hands in their pocket gear when they say a sentence prayer and they kneel on one knee, irreverent before God and before the congregation of God? But then they preach up a juicy message. You know, the righteousness of Christ is accompanying that. If the righteousness of Christ is mingling inside because of the experience you have, you are bowing before God, appreciating every opportunity he's giving to you and me. And so you begin to want others to taste and see that this, that which you have been receiving, is good. And so there's an urgency, Ellen G. White says, there is a solemnity, right? A distinctness that is taking place, and there with the understanding of the solemnity of which, in the time in which we are living. So you begin, this walk here is practical living. Every day you're striving to do and to live a holier and a higher experience. And I believe you are asking God for this in the 10 days of praying and fasting. You're looking for a higher and a holier experience in Christ. Let me pause here for a prayer or two for a higher and a holier. If that's your need, cry out to God a little.
Loving Lord, that is my greatest need. A closer, a deeper, a higher encounter with you. And may I value this time with you like I have never valued you before, and time with you. Amen.
Father,
here's
this morning, I just want a closer walk with you, a holier walk with you. I cry for it and I beg for it, but I'm not doing it in the right way. But this morning, I thank you, dear Lord, that when I enter into the prayer room and I finish praying and I get up and I move, I will be moving with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit so that I can do what you ask me to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, anyone else? All right. Okay, let's go ahead.
Loving Savior, this morning I ask of you, dear God, that you will help me as I continue to study your word, to have a holy walk with you. I cannot do it by myself, but I need to be rising higher and higher as the moment go by. So, loving Lord, you call us to be holy as thou art holy. This morning I ask of you, dear God, as I humble myself to be used by your Holy Spirit, that you will help me, dear Father, to hold on to your unchanging hand, study your word, and ask of you to keep me faithful, keep me true. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I call it your name out.
For I am one that really and truly needs you more and more in my life. I'm asking you, Lord, to touch me with the Holy Spirit daily and throughout the day so that I will be a vessel that you can use, not for vain glory, but for your glory, Lord, for your use. For I am one that needs you most desperately. And I'm asking you to touch me with the Holy Spirit so that I can grow in your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Loving and eternal Father, I know you are the refiner that take off all the dross that is within my heart, my mind, my soul, and my spirit. I beg in you, Father, to restore that Holy Spirit within me, that I can walk and I can talk and do the things that is blessed and pleasing in your sight. I ask this in no other name, but in the precious and loving name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. All right. Going, in other words, if I'm bare feet before God, when I leave, I am going for the experience. In other words, there is expectation. And the sanctuary makes it so simple. There are two symbols in the sanctuary that's pure gold. It's the candlestick and the mercy seat. So in my experience or my work, and that's something I'm praying about, asking God to blot it out from my mind, not to record anything that he's doing through me. You know? And then he helps you to see it. A couple days ago or a week ago, I was talking. We were fighting to get my mom up to America. My mom is sick. She can't see. Very feeble. You know, and I've been asking my brothers to send the birth paper, and they can't get it, and they're saying this, and they're saying that. I don't want money to come. But listen to this. I got so upset with my sister-in-law and my niece, and I went off on them. And I said a couple of things like, you know, when you guys ask for things, I do not hesitate. I work many hours. I work hard here. I make time to go and pick it up and send it for you. So don't tell me that you're working hard, and because I am working very hard here. Now, when I left that conversation, you know, when you pray for these things, he will show you the little amendment that is on Christ. This is where, in action, true confession is made. The minute I hung up the conversation and I leave, I didn't even have to look up too high. I just hear, Amanda, Amanda. Oh, Amanda.
Oh, Lord. There's no one out there, Terrence.
In other words, God was saying to me, Amanda, it is not you that is doing deeds for your family. It is me that is doing it through you. You know, you that's with true confession. It's in your practical life you see these things that true confession can be made. I am caught in the action. What happens now? I have prayed a prayer. So I must wait for that experience. That's all coming into my life. But what happened, because the sanctuary is not meditated upon constantly, then you blaming the devil when these things, are you justifying yourself? Oh, well, you know, and I did not call Polly, and I did not get my sister involved, because she would have been she would have been there, like, backing up. Oh, well, Amanda, you do this thing, and I didn't get her involved, because she's going through some hard times, and you don't get people involved to get them upset. You work it out with Jesus. That's what compassion is about. People think by just going and give a hug, that's compassion. Compassion is don't get in a principle of compassion, by the way. Don't, if you know something is going to bother someone, don't get them involved in it. These are the sins that the foxes have been eating out of your life. Because when you pray the prayer, you go forth like if it's a magic, like Jesus is a magician. And then when the experience come in the fire of ages, who are my brethren, when the Spirit of God comes in, tap, tap, knock, knock, I'm coming in to write. The hammer, the chisel, the nail, the water. You said, and the experience is not conducive. It's not appreciated. Somebody cursing at you, somebody doing it. And you say, oh, that's the devil. The pen of inspiration says the Spirit of God backs off. Because he cannot harmonize the work with the adversary. In other words, he can't write in your heart because you do not identify him. You do not identify him. Let me pause here for prayer. This is something that we need to cherish and plead with God to hang it up in our memorial hall, that through these experiences that he is allowing to take place in our life, that we may see the heaven's urgency for to praise the law from the mind and to write it upon our heart. We pause here. Please pray for your own soul's salvation. Can we have a prayer or two?
Dear Father, we come to you, I come to you this morning, asking you, Lord, that I would be you as you are, that your Holy Spirit would allow me to see the experiences of my life as your tool, to help me be the person that I should be. My prayer in your most holy name. Amen.
Love and eternal one. Give me your love, Father, which is your character, that I can walk in the examples that you have left in this earth, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Loving Lord, I believe with all my heart that there have been so many times that I have approached individuals and they have been vexed, mad. I have told you I am going to stop speaking. I don't want to be a slothful servant. I want to be faithful. But I realize how far I am from you. And as I examine myself, even just saying to folks, are you there, will you speak, annoys some people. And I find the frustration becoming so intense that sometimes it feels unbearable. But as I give myself to you, I realize in the ledgers of heaven you are writing. And I want to do your will. So thank you for speaking to me through my precious sister. Amen.
Father in heaven, I thank thee for sparing my life. I thank thee for this prayer line. And Father, I commit myself to thee and help me that I might forsake anything that would hinder me from being a true child of God. And help me that I might know how to live among my neighbors and my family, that I might represent thee and live a holy life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. A few scriptures here as I wrap up. In Psalm 37 and verse 5, the scripture tells us, commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So when you're coming out bare feet, when you enter in bare feet, and the blood of Christ is now upon you, in other words, you have committed yourself unto God. And so it's not the devil. It's not the devil that tries you. The question was asked, can God tempt? Yes, God can tempt. Don't be fooled.
Yes. We don't have time to read it, but I'll give you the scripture. Genesis 22 and verse 1. The scripture tells us, and God tempted Abraham. But God never tempts us to evil. God never tempts us to evil. So don't, this Bible needs to be, when the word of God says every dot and tittle, that's the sanctuary, composes of all dots and tittle. And for those who say, well, I have studied it. Listen, man, this is not a study. This is a journey that will prepare us for eternity, and it continues up there. Not a study, it's a journey with him. It's the deeper and holier experiences with the understanding that you and Jesus is cultivating a deeper relationship with him. I'm going to end here in Genesis 30 and verse 27. When you pray, or when I pray, I should be, when I'm bare feet before God, when I go forth now, I must know there are experiences that I will encounter, good or bad, negative or positive. If he doesn't have one side and the other, any side that you lean upon, you and I must see him in all circumstances in our life. And when we can't see him, sit down at his feet and say, Daddy, help me to understand this thing. Genesis, 30 and 27. Can someone kindly read it after we wrap up? Genesis 30 and 27.
Loving Lord, as we continue, while Sister Amanda wraps up, I give you thanks for speaking to us, and may we hearken unto you, even as you continue. Is it 27 you're talking about, or 37?
No, Genesis 30 and verse 27.
Okay.
And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor
in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake.
Why? Because he was bare feet before his leader. So now you're seeing the blessings of God. You know, I've been learning in my own experience. In my own experience, the more I learn to appreciate, even when things is not right. On my job, I was taking care of a client. And like 24 minutes, a medical doctor, and he came in with all the complaints and stuff. And then at 24 minutes into the service, he got up and he said, this is not what I want. This is not what I'm looking for. Now, sometimes I could lean too much on the other side too. Nevertheless, I am seeing Christ through these journeys. And I said, okay. So I run to my manager and I told her. And she said, okay, Amanda, don't worry about it. But I went back and I sat down in the room. And I said, what's the object lesson here to Lord Jesus? What is the object lesson? And you know, right away, the Spirit of God showed me his politeness. Even though he did not agree with my treatment, even though probably he did not like the treatment, he was very polite about it. And I said, wow, thank you, Lord. In other words, when I agree or disagree with individuals, he can manifest politeness to me. But in other words, that's the mind. So the experience will come now for me to utilize that which he has placed in my mind. So you're constantly observing that which the Spirit of God. Now, if I did not know, or if God did not make the sanctuary,
sanctuary available and the interest, as he did with my interest, I would have go about talking about a guy all the time. Oh, he didn't do this, or he didn't do that, and oh, he's this, and oh, he's that. But he comes out of the picture right away when you see Jesus. He was a vessel that God was using to teach Amanda a lesson. And so, loving Father, we just thank you for your mercies, your grace, and your long suffering. And may the preparation that has been wrought and implemented in your children's life, this journey of praying and fasting, may the revival and the reformation that will glorify your name come to be accomplished in our lives individually and collectively, even in our own biological family. For we ask these blessings because thou art our substitute and our surety, high priest, intercessor, and king, in whose name I pray these blessings with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Amen. Truly, the Lord's presence is in this place. Certainly, he is communicating with us. And since we have a little time before, don't run, sis, because she's on her way to work. If you are on the line and you have gotten a blessing, I told my sister I was not going to let her do any question and answers. I want her to know this evening. She's going to be on from 7. She's going to be on from 7. And I told her she can go right on until 10 to review. You'll have a chance to be able to ask her questions. And as we come together and as we pray together, we can better understand what is going on. Let me ask two individuals. There are some of us that are more talkative than others. Those of us, like myself, that's quite talkative. Give someone else a chance that is not as talkative. We have new people that are coming on. If there is someone new on the line, I'd like you to introduce yourself and let me know, let us know what you have gleaned this morning by coming on the line. Anybody, come on, give your name. Let us know where you're calling from. Nobody's talking. Nobody got anything. Okay.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sister Riley, and I am from Faith Temple Church. And what I gleaned from it this morning is that when you go into your closet in secret prayer, when you are bare feet before the Lord, and when you come out, it's not the devil, when you're going through your trials, it's not the devil that is tempting you, but it's God using his hammer and his chisel to carve out that person in you that he needs you to be.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And we welcome you from Faith Temple. And I know you're also doing the 10 days as well. And I know you're learning from here and going right back there. And
yes.
So I will not call you a thief. We need more thieves like you coming.
Praise the Lord.
I give you thanks for Faith Temple and for our hearing Sister Riley's voice this morning. We hear Erica's voice, not enough, in and out. And so bless your people there, I pray, especially Sister Riley and Sister Erica. Amen. Anybody else? Would you come off and identify Sister Amanda? Would you that, please, briefly?
Yeah, exactly, because in the holy of the most holy, the devil was cast out of there. So it's no way you can be in the holy of the most holy and the devil can catch you. The scripture tells us that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if God is trying, like Joseph said, the word is trying because the heart has, the law has to be written upon the heart. Without the experiences, it cannot be written. The mind is there, but because the sequence of the sanctuary is not understood, then we blame the devil because of lack of knowledge. Bible study is crucial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Loving Father, we thank you for the understanding, and we pray that you will continue to open up our minds and our hearts as we continue to journey with you. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.
I just want to say to God's children on the line with that question, the Lord has just brought to my mind Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25 in the New King James Version. It uses the word sandals. But we are studying on this line of trauma, the King James Version. God is saying, thy shoes shall be iron brass. And when we become soldiers in God's army, we need to be strong. But as we are going into his presence, he says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. This was Moses speaking to Joshua, because Moses knew that he was not going to go over as the leader, although he repented of his sin, although God forgave him, his attitude and what he caused, the influence of the people, God was about to wipe out every last one of them. But we see the God of mercy, and he says, no, you are taking credit to yourself and your brother that belongs to the Lord. So if you and I love to be acclaimed, great and talented and gifted, and just want to have the praise, you are robbing yourself. You and I need to take the sandals off and worship him. And when we do that, each day, he will be our refuge. His everlasting arms will be around us. What a mighty God. One more person coming in. Please, one more. Someone, what did you get today? Somebody on the line. God's people are very slow at pressing the mute button when the time comes for it to be pressed.
When things that I'm doing is pointed out to me, where the glory of the God exposed me, it's for me to acknowledge my shortcoming and give them to the Lord. So he, in obedience to him, he will acknowledge and I repent.
I don't know if Sister Amanda got all that clearly. I certainly did not. I heard some. But
let me just say, when she said, one of the things that I heard, she said, when she repents, you can't repent. It's a gift from God that brings about repentance. True, you make true confession, and then the power comes in, and the sorrowing takes place, and that's put in the book of heaven. So we can't, we meet the pattern of Christ through this. And God, the Spirit of God, that power now comes in and the sorrowing takes place. In other words, the sin is seen with your naked eyes and felt in your heart, and confession is made.
I believe Sis also alluded to Exodus 12 and verse 25, because she spoke about the blood a little earlier. And as she said, rightly, you cannot repent. But as you are seeking that repentance, he says, I will pass over you.
Amen.
When I see the blood.
Amen.
When you do your part,
Amen.
He will pass over you when
Amen.
You stop making excuses for that which is a compromise that he has been telling you again and again. He will pass over you. And Amen. Also 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. We are now asking everyone to meditate as we look to the Lord. We are about to hear that music again. Come, Holy Spirit.
Have a blessed day, Saint.
God bless you, sis. I will talk to you a little later. As you hear this music, look to the Lord. Submit to him. Surrender.
The Holy Spirit came at 30 pounds. He came in mighty fullness there. His witness to believers was the Lord, and multitudes were born again. The early Christians scattered all the world. They preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and martyred, they marched along in victory. Come, Holy Spirit, don't you see us? Need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Move God among us.
Goodbye.